You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. A recent study published in the Age and Aging Journal found that older adults in residential care who were given additional dietary protein and calcium experienced a significant drop in the number of fractures and falls. To discuss bone health and ways to mitigate these issues as we get older, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the podcast in studio by Professor Francis Zachary, geriatrician at Beaumont Hospital. Francis, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm good, yes. Thanks for the chance to come and talk about all things bone.
We love chatting all things bone and wellness and aging on the show. We know as a society that we age quite poorly in Ireland. As we get weaker, as we get older, people that are at a higher risk of falls, trips, hazards. And that's a real crucial component to healthy aging, isn't it? Avoiding those things.
It is. I wouldn't say we age poorly. We actually are doing extremely well in Ireland. We have one of the highest life expectancies in Europe, which is really impressive and something we should all be very proud of. But the one thing that is of concern, well, I shouldn't say concern. One thing to be celebrated is we have a huge rise in the older population. And I think it's useful just to look at the sheer numbers of people getting older in Ireland. And the census, which was conducted 2016 versus last year, in that period of time, there was an 8% rise in the population in Ireland. In the over 65-year-olds, that rise was 22%. Whereas across Europe, it was 10%. And in the 75-year-olds and upwards, we had a 28% rise. Across Europe, 3.5%. Oh. So we are actually going to have a vastly bigger population of older people. And if everybody ages in a really healthy manner, that's fantastic, something to be celebrated. But with that, we really need to think very carefully about how it's going to impact on our health systems and on all these people's well-being. And falls and fractures, which is something that I feel quite strongly about, are a real threat to healthy aging because they're so common, and fractures are something that just rob people of their independence, and they're often the reason why people end up going into nursing homes. They've had a series of falls. So this study was of interest to me as well because it is a study in nursing home residents in Australia. I think there were just over 7,000 residents in this study, and they gave half of them an extra portion or two of dairy products every day versus the others continued with their usual diet. Now, older people's appetite goes down quite a lot as we age. They just don't eat to the same degree, often because they don't expend the same energy. But you do actually need more protein and more calcium as you're older to keep your bones and your muscles strong. Anyway, in a nutshell, the study was over 2 years. They had about 60 different residential homes. Half of the homes had the extra dairy, half did not. They managed to sustain that extra intake. And after the 2 year period, they evaluated the two different groups. There was a third of a fall in the number of fractures in the homes who had the extra dairy by a third. And an 11% fall in the number, drop in the number of falls.
I was just about to throw a very sarcastic comment out there about, you know, a fall in the number of people who fell. Yeah.
So the study recently published showed that it was a cost-effective strategy. Yeah. The actual original study was in the British Medical Journal just over 2 years ago. So this was a follow-on, just showing that this simple strategy of giving extra portions of dairy, things like skim milk powder, extra cheese, extra yogurt that contain high protein, high calcium, was really effective for reducing the risk of falls and fractures. And here in Ireland, with such a large anticipated rise in our ageing population in years ahead, if the trend continues, it's already grown hugely. We need to really think about healthy ageing and how to preserve it. And we want to reduce falls and fractures at a population level. And that's why that study was of interest, because I think it does have implications for all older people. Okay, the study was conducted in those in nursing homes, but there's no reason why it should be any different. Similarly, Australia, it's not hugely different population type to our own.
And let's chat bone health then. So bone health as we get older, we strengthen it in our 20s and early 30s, and then mid 30s onwards, it begins to
Exactly, yes. I mean, most of our bone density is laid down in our childhood and our teenage years. There's a little bit of wiggle room mid-20s, late-20s, and after that it sort of stays on a plateau, gradually declines. And when women reach the menopause, there's a major drop because of the hormones. And so that is a really risky, it's not a hugely risky time. That's when fractures start to really become more apparent. Teenage kids will have lots of fractures, especially boys. There's a big peak in teenage years of fractures, then it dips. And then after the menopause in women and towards the 70s in men, that's when the rise really becomes apparent. So we have to just firstly be aware of it, and secondly, do all we can to try and preserve our bone density and reduce fracture risk. So you need more protein as you age in your diet. You need more calcium, and that's to help with your muscle strength and your bone density. Because if you have low bone density, the first thing you often know about it is a fracture, and that's what...
That was my question. My next question was, people listening in, how will they know? Like, is there a family history association, or is it when you have the fracture, that's when you find out?
Well, it shouldn't be, but it is often. It's often the first people find out is that they have had a fracture. They've had a trip in the street, they broke their wrist, they think nothing of it. They might go and get checked out for their bone density at that point. And that's
which is
when
a DEXA
scan, yes. But it's not all about a DEXA scan, actually. And that's quite an important point because, ironically, most people who fracture, if you go on a DEXA reading, you tend to get a result that will tell you you have either normal bone density or you have what's called osteopenia, which is halfway, or you have osteoporosis. But it's really, it's not as simple as that at all, because having low bone density, having osteoporosis or osteopenia, they certainly put your fracture risk up hugely. But there are other things that do. If your mother broke her hip or your father broke their hip, that's actually a really strong risk factor for you doing the same. If you didn't do much childhood exercise, if you didn't lay down bone density when you were young and in your teenage years, if you had a bad diet, if you had eating disorders, these people are also more at risk. But that's generally because they don't form their bone density early on. And they don't reach their peak bone mass. So these things are important in your 20s. So there are other factors as well. Alcohol, excess alcohol plays havoc with bones. Smoking, these are risk factors you can actually do something about. Weight-bearing exercises. So these are all the things that determine a person's risk of having a fracture. So when people break bones, if they go on to have bone density scans, actually, not all of them will have osteoporosis. So even still, there are benefits to being screened and going on to treatment at that point, because osteoporosis and osteopenia, they are treatable conditions. And there are medications and things that can be done to reduce your risk of having another fracture. So that's really critical. You might think you've just had a minor fracture, you just had a wrist fracture, you tripped in the street. That is, as there was a campaign by the International Osteoporosis Foundation, and they call it this, their slogan was, "This could be your lucky break," because they had a picture of a woman with a plaster cast on her arm. In other words, this is the warning fracture that might prevent you going on to have a much worse fracture, for example, a hip fracture. Or vertebral fractures, which are exceedingly painful and actually can reduce your life expectancy.
And it's fair to say strength and balance are really important components. Even if you had a very sedentary teenage years or sedentary in your 20s, as lots of people may have been, it's never too late.
Absolutely.
To be stronger and to try and get, you know, to do weight-bearing exercise, which, you know, Irish people generally, they're pretty afraid of it in some regards, but it is really important for your bone strength.
Absolutely. I've talked really only about the bone density and how if you haven't exercised in your youth, you might have reduced bone mass. But there are very good clinical studies out there showing that regular weight-bearing exercise, that's brisk walking a few times a week, will improve your bone density. But the other huge benefit from exercise is exercise will reduce your risk of falls. Now, the right kind of exercise, it's not just going out brisk walking. There are a whole set of exercises for strength and balance, and they have been looked at in a lot of studies, and they really do reduce your chance of falls. So things that work on balance would be things. There's a particular set of exercises that our physiotherapists would give called Otago. There are Tai Chi and Pilates. Mm-hmm. They're exercises that focus in on balance, and they've been shown to have benefits in people who are on the lower end of the lower risk of falls, but they're still very beneficial. So it's about mixing up the type of exercise you do, improving your bone density with weight-bearing exercise, improving your strength with training, conditioning, and improving your balance with specific balance exercises. So we've seen a big growth in classes all around Ireland of these classes for older people mm-hmm. specifically. And we'd really encourage everyone to just seek these out. There's a social prescribing service run by the HSE yep. that also feeds into all
these
classes.
It's never too late. I meet people absolutely all the time who's like, oh, I'm 70, I can't make any, I can't improve. Nonsense. Every little bit you do will reduce your risk of trips and falls.
Absolutely. And these studies that I'm talking about where they've brought people into clinical studies, most of those studies were in people aged over 70, where they were given exercise programs or not, and they really do reduce the risk of falls. One danger with when somebody falls or has a fracture, what happens is they start to become nervous, they start mm-hmm. to become fearful, and the next thing is they say, okay, if I don't walk, I won't fall, and they stop exercising. And that just loses muscle strength and you're in a downward spiral and you become more dependent. That's a very difficult thing to conquer. Mm-hmm. Fear of falling. We see it all the time. But with the right coaching and the right persistence, you can get over it. So I think if you're somebody who's really afraid of falling, you know, you should really be seeking out, even getting your GP to refer you maybe to a physiotherapist, starting with a gentle exercise program. But it's so important to keep active and keep your muscles in check.
And of course, resistance training has a huge role to play within that too. So lifting, you know, weight-bearing exercise, obviously, with in terms of walking, but also lifting weights, whether it's your own body weight of, you know, a squat or a lunge or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, osteoporosis is so prevalent as people get older. And I think weight exercise like that, if you're older and if you have osteoporosis or you're worried about having it, I'd be just careful with diving into exercise where you're really doing weightlifting. Because if you have vertebral osteoporosis, you can actually have a fracture with mm-hmm. very low impact. And there are techniques that you should be careful about, bending and turning and twisting. And I think that's really important.
So chatting to a physio first is a good idea.
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
And getting avoiding kind of a body mechanics assessment or something along the lines of that.
Because it's important to bend properly, turn mm-hmm. properly, lift properly if you, if you're at risk of osteoporosis. You may not even know it, but I think you've just got to be a little bit more careful about the resistance exercises.
I was reading something on the way up on the train, knowing that you were coming in today. I said, I'm going to ask that question. And it was that if you can get up out of the chair, your chair at home, without using your hands, it's a really good test of how you're going to age in terms of your physical strength. And I wanted to put that to you.
Yeah, that's called the sit to stand. Five mm-hmm. times sit to stand. Can you stand up from your chair five times without using your arms? If you can't, you are at a higher risk of a hip fracture in the future.
Okay.
It's that specific link. Now, I mean, there are many people who can't. Of course, they're not all going to go and break their hip. But it's just a measure of the whole. It's a good test of core strength of having to be able to, your proximal muscles, the ones up near your hips, to get you up in the first place, your balance to stay standing. So it's a useful, simple test. Another one we do is we get people to get up out of a chair, walk 3 meters, turn around and come back. And it's not rocket science, but if it takes you longer than 12 or 15 seconds to do that, you're at higher risk of falling.
Okay.
But these are very useful tests if you
love
have
this.
Very large
Our listeners
populations.
Will love this now. I tried that test with a family member about 3 months ago. They couldn't do it. And they're young, they're in their 60s, and they couldn't do it. I was like, wow. Because I take that for granted. I just get up and down,
out.
Of course. So, you know, it's just what you do. So, folks, listening in, try that one at home this evening. When everyone's sitting down watching TV, no hands, up and down, out of the chair 5 times and see who can do it and who can't do it. And I think you might just be surprised at who can't do it. And it might give them the little bit of the kick they need to go and do a bit more exercise and a bit more weight-bearing movement. Chat to me about the link between falls and mortality then. We've got some scary stats around that, haven't we?
Well, in terms of a fall, because they're so common, if you ask older people if they've had a fall in the last year, about 1 in 3 people aged over 65 and 1 in 2 over 75 will have had a fall in the previous year. But most of them go unnoticed and unreported. But that's the actual number. A fall is generally the leading reason somebody ends up going into a nursing home, into long-term care. Falls and injuries are a huge problem. And in Ireland, there are 30,000 fractures a year, at least, probably way more. And those numbers are rising.
As we get older.
They definitely are. And as we have more people getting older, we're going to see a much higher number. So falls are really everyone's business because of the sheer, the cost of the person. It's not just about fractures. It's injuries all over. It's the loss of confidence, the fear of falling. And if somebody needs nursing home placement, if even if they don't, if they stay at home, afraid to move, they now need someone caring for them. So falls are a huge, huge problem that we have to be...
The financial impact on the hospital system and the HSE is huge.
It's enormous. We would not be able to cope because even for those who aren't hospitalised, people who fall often now need home care because they're not as active, they're afraid to move. So it's got health, mental health, physical health, you know, social, financial implications across the board. So they are a huge, huge issue, and fractures being the most common consequence, the common injury from falls. And we really can't cope as a health system with more fractures than we currently do in Ireland. At least 30,000 is more than enough.
So we know the link from the study between dairy, calcium and bone health. Very established, black and white, which is great. Does that concern you then in terms of the way society has been in the last, say, 10, 20 years in terms of, you know, vegan diets or all of the nut milks that people will use instead of normal milk, the non-dairy?
Those milks contain a good quantity of calcium as well. So I think if you are, and of course we know and a lot of people are concerned about the dairy industry and the impact on the climate and CO2 emissions from cows and all that. And the study that was just done was done specifically on dairy products. In a health service, we have to be careful with, you know, what we spend our money on. We have to show cost effectiveness and value for money. The study that was talked about there showed that this dietary intervention was extremely cheap and had huge benefits. There isn't the same caliber of a study out there on vegetarian sources of the protein and calcium. And we know that there are lots of foods that contain them and they may well have the same effect. But as a medic, and you know, we have to go with the science, and until we see that same trial, I think for older people, I'm just quoting the evidence of this paper that showed that this trial was really beneficial of just taking some extra dairy products. Some foods, vegetarian foods, make, you know, the green vegetables, for example, are a great source of calcium, less so of protein. But you have to consume higher quantities of them in general. And older people, their appetite is not the best. So you actually have to be clever about how you're going to get the extra dairy product, or extra calcium protein in without actually overfilling them with some, you know, give them one yogurt or something and they won't eat anymore. So you've got to be clever about it. And if you're going to fill people with lots of other foods that don't quite contain as much calcium, then you might decrease their overall intake.
A simple way for protein then presumably is aiming for some protein with each meal, or certainly 2 out of the 3 main meals per day, so have a protein source with that.
Yeah, I mean, like vegetarians are extremely healthy, and we know that there are other studies that will show you that, you know, a low salt, predominantly fruit and veg diet is very good to bring your blood pressure down. So it's about getting the balance right. But if you're going to just decide to do that, I think it's very important for teenagers, I would say that, because their bone density is still forming. So they should really think carefully about how they're going to get enough calcium protein before their bone density is fixed. As older adults, similarly, it does apply. And even more so as we get older, you have to be sure you're going to get your due quantity of protein and your due quantity of calcium and all the other micronutrients across the board. And while it might be good for certain things to go onto a vegetarian diet, like less red meat is, you know, certainly, you know, has health benefits, you just need to really put good thought into the content and not to compromise it, because it really will impact your muscle strength, your falls risk, and your bone density.
And do we know a number for adults as they get older in terms of, is it 1 gram of protein per kilo body weight? Or
that's, yes, that's right. Whereas actually it's less for younger adults. That's the recommendation. It's okay. About 0.6 or 0.7, you know. So as you get older, because there's something called sarcopenia, which is where the muscle fibers just don't last as long. And, you know, you really need that extra protein to maintain and to build muscle. For calcium, it's about a gram a day, but even more for older people, we'd say about 1.2, 1.3 grams. So they have higher requirements and most aren't meeting it at all.
So more protein as you get older, not less. And of course, for people listening in, just in case you are confused, your protein-based foods will be your meat, fish, eggs, milk, yogurts, cheese. I've probably missed one or two. Corn along the way.
Things like nuts contain a lot of protein. If you're worried about weight, nuts have a huge, you know, you'd have to eat an awful lot of nuts to get the same protein and calcium, for example, as you might from a dairy source. But yeah, they would be sources. And if you're going to have a vegan diet or vegetarian diet as you're older, just to think carefully and even to seek maybe advice from your GP or a dietitian if you're referred to one or able to access one, just for advice on that, to make sure you're not losing out, because you really want to preserve.
So it's your early intervention that if you have a concern, go chat to your GP, go and talk to them, and the GP will, you know, they will assess you and they'll give you the personalised recommendations. But roughly, we're talking about 1 gram per kilo body weight in terms of protein, and about 1.5.
About 1.3 for grams for calcium a day is the general recommendation for older people. And I would say if you've ever had what you think is a mild, minor fracture, or even you've had a few falls, even if you think they're only accidental trips and they're all explained, you should be seeking advice, because there are really are things you can do to reduce your chance of future fractures and future falls, even if you think it's just something minor.
Frances, I've really enjoyed catching up with you. It's been great. Great stats. Like, you know, it's, and that's why we love bringing in experts. We can hear from them. We can get the latest up-to-date stats, trends, all that lovely stuff. But a key messaging around health that's always important, which is as you get older, more protein, a bit more calcium, you're stronger, weight-bearing exercise. Everyone listening in, your homework between this week and next week is to try that chair test up and down 5 times, no hands whatsoever. If you can't do that, go into your GP and have a good chat with them.
Don't try it on your own if there's nobody round and you're off balance.
That's very important. Make sure that you're in a safe environment. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Professor Dockery, thank you so much for coming in and joining us on the show today. Folks, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of Real Health. You know where we are, @GarthHenryPT on Instagram, realhealth@independent.ie. We'll see you next week for more Real Health. Slán go fóill.